When you're Dalit, I'm an Aleph. Okay? This is going to be one of our source sheets that we're going to be going through. Alright? We finished this piece of the Gemara. We're up to the first wide line. But we'll go back a few lines above just to remind ourselves what we're talking
about. What I want to do for you. Even us called Gemara. You can read this Gemara, okay? This will make it easy.
I'm going to help.
Okay. Yes, it'll help, because you can read in English. A smart guy like you knows how to read English.
All right. Omer Rabba. So we're going to start off with the word Omer Rabba. About five lines before the lines get wide. We saw this already, we're going to see it again. Yomim shehayachid gomer behen esahalel. Days in which a yachid, someone by themselves, are you on the right page? You see that? That someone by themselves can say the whole halel, bein perek uperek posek, between paragraphs, he's allowed to actually interrupt and have a conversation of some sort, on some level. Be'emsa perek, but once we get between one paragraph and the next, in the middle of the paragraph itself, eino posek, you're not allowed to make interruptions. Beyamim she'ein hayachid gomer behenes ha'halel, on days in which the individual does not finish the whole halel, afil be'emsa haperek posek. Apparently we're not as strict. For example, this is talking about a half halel, like we say in Rosh Chodesh, among other times. Because it's only a half halel, we're more lenient. And even in the middle of the paragraph, we allow you to make an interruption. Okay, we're not going to have to see this next piece. That's not necessary. But basically, the Gemara said that makes a difference between half halel and whole halel. Okay, whether or not the amount of interruptions you're allowed to make in the middle of that halel. But what's interesting, we pointed out last week, is that it says not half halel versus whole halel, but it also mentions a yachid, someone by themselves. The question is that what's the difference if it's a yachid, an individual saying the halel, or the tzibur saying the halel? After all, we know that if you're davening by yourself or you're the minyan, either way you say halel or half halel. It doesn't make a difference if you're by yourself or with a minyan. So that's why we saw. We're not going to see this whole Tosis again. We'll just see the first line in the top left corner in Tosis. The first Tosis is pretty long, so we're not going to see the whole thing. We'll just see the first line. Because we saw actually over half of it, yes, last week. Yamim shayachid gomer behenes ha'halel lav dafka yachid elafil tzibur. So the way that when it says in the Gemara, yachid, who finishes, says the whole halel, or the yachid who says half halel, the reality is it doesn't really mean a yachid, saying it by yourself, doesn't make a difference. Like we're saying, the laws are the same, whether you're a yachid or a tzibur, if you're by yourself saying the halel, or you're with a minion saying halel, either way, the same laws apply. As the Gemara said, whether or not you ought to make a hefsek, and we're more lenient when it comes to a half halel. So Tosfos holds it makes absolutely no difference. But then we asked the question, whether or not half halel is a minhag. The fact that we say half halel on Rosh Chodesh, as opposed to the whole halel like we will do on, Chanukah, so it's only considered to be a minhag. And according to the opinion of the Machzor Vitri, brought down in Tosos, the Machzor Vitri says, about 20 lines down, that kivon she'enu el a minhag, since it's only a custom, you don't say a bracha, which means that when it comes to the half halel on Rosh Chodesh, according to the Machzor Vitri, you should not say a bracha the beginning of halel. You just go into the paragraphs. You don't actually say a bracha. We are, as we're going to see in a second in our source sheets, hold like the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, which you can see that it says sukkah in parentheses, then it says a line after that, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Umihu Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Eino Raya, it's not a proof, and he doesn't agree to the Machzor Vitri. Rather, Vadai, that he says this, Pshita the Mamarachinan, rather it's simple that you do say a bracha. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam, disagreeing with the opinion of the Machzor Vitri, that when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, or saying a half halel, a bracha is recited, which means that even though generally it's really only a minhag to say half halel on Rosh Chodesh, nonetheless, for this particular minhag, you say a bracha. That's the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam. So we look over here on our source sheets, okay? It's stapled, there's three pages, okay? So we're on the second page. The second page, which looks something like this, okay? At the, yeah, it's on, it should be there. Is that the right sheet?
Dalad,
yes. Okay. So we're up to, this is the Shulchan Aruch. This is a page of the Shulchan Aruch. So if we look in the center over here, let's start off where it says Bet, which is in the middle. And there's a bet, there's a little hay, there's a bet in parentheses, then there's a hay. You see that? Okay. So, says the Shulchan Aruch, he says, V'korim halel bedilug, we say halel and we skip, which right, we skip a couple paragraphs, when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, bein yachid bein tzibur. Doesn't make a difference if you're by yourself or the minion, you say the exact same stuff. V'yesh omrim, he brings down another opinion that disagrees and says, Shatzibor mivarchin alav betchila. When you're with a minyan and you're saying a half halal like Rosh Chodesh, then you make a bracha beforehand, right? Likros a halal. That's the language of the bracha. Likros halal. Okay? And also, skipping the parentheses, a little sof, yehalucha, which is the end of the halal. However, listen to this. The Hayachid, some hold, which we're going to see the opinions of Tosis, which one this sounds like. Aim of Archelot, that when it comes to an individual saying the half Hallel, you don't say a bracha before it, which sounds like the opinion of the Matzer Vitri. The Matzer Vitri said that a Yachid does not say a bracha on half Hallel. Not a whole halal. Whole halal is a halacha to say. Half halal is a minhag. Since it's only a minhag for a yachid, we don't have an individual say a bracha. V'yesh amrin, there are those that say, she'af hatzibor ein mevarach halav, lo b'tchila v'lo b'sof, v'zed das harambam. The Rambam is an unbelievable shita. The opinion of the Rambam is that it doesn't make a difference if you're yachid or you're tzibor. Even a minyan, you would not say a bracha for a half halal. You don't say bracha on Rosh Chodesh. V'cheinu hagin b'chol malchus eretz Yisrael v'siva yiseha. And he says that this is actually the custom of many people in Eretz Yisrael and its surrounding neighboring cities. Yes, v'chad. But, of course, we don't hold like the opinion of the Rambam. We know that we do say a bracha on a half halal when we're the minyan. And apparently also as a yachid. So, apparently we don't hold like the Rambam. Apparently we don't hold like the Matzer Vitri, but rather we probably are going to hold like the second opinion of Tosus, which was what? The Rebbein of Tam. Okay, and we're going to see that now. Haggah. Continuing in the, this is now the Ramah. Moshe Isserles is usually a smaller font. It's in, with italics, whatever. V'yesh Omrim, there are those that say, this is the Minhag Ashkenaz. The gam yachid mevarchala, that even a yachid will say half halal with a bracha. And look at the parentheses over here. Tur, the tur, it's brought down in the tur. B'shem harosh, in the name of the Rebbeinu Asher, and who else? Rebbeinu Tam. So we see that the Rebbeinu Tam. Where did you get this Rebbeinu Tam? You got it from our Tosfos, right? Our Tosfos says that even a yachid, an individual, does say a bracha on half halal. Dachenu hagin b'medinus eil. This is our minhag. This is our custom. Umikomako. Okay, this is our minhag. Good. So we hold, not like the opinion of the Rambam, not like the opinion of the Matzer Vitri, we hold like the Rebbeinu Tam, which the Ramah, which we generally paskin like, which is the Ashkenazic opinions, that's what's brought down here the Ramah. However, this is kind of interesting. He doesn't go all the way. He says as follows, Umikomako nevertheless. Yizahir Adam Likros Betzibur. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh, you should be careful to read Hallel with a minyan. Kidei Levarach Alav Ima Tzibur. So that you should be able to say a bracha together with the Tzibur. Which means like this. Even though the truth is that the Ramah holds like the opinion of Rebbeinu Tam, that you can say a bracha.
Either Yachid or Rabbi.
Even the Yachid. Nonetheless, what? We would rather you say it with a minion. Because there are opinions, as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, that differentiate, distinguish between the Yochid and the Rabbah. Okay. So he says, better to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh with a minion. Veishomrim, and some say like this, Kishayochid Kare, even if, let's say, you're stuck by yourself, Oimer Lishnayim, Shomru Imo Roshe Prokim, does have a Karab. So interesting. You don't need a minion. The difference between Yochid and Rabbim doesn't mean Yochid by yourself and a minion.
It's like benching.
Right. That's what it sounds like. Just as long as you have, there's someone else.
They can answer you that you're free to be the Mishtapek with.
Right. Exactly. So, and that's what he says. V'nahugu b'hod v'lubana. Now, if we look at the Be'er Heitev over here, because you'll see the Ramah has a Zion in parentheses, which is the second last line which we just saw. So we look at the Be'er Heitev, which is all the way on the bottom, because we have all these other Mefarshim, which we don't need to see. Doesn't really have a lot of juice. So we'll move on to the Be'er Heitev, Zion. Very interesting Be'er Heitev. The very bottom, it's toward the very bottom of the page. It's above the Be'er Hagra. The Be'er Heitev says as follows, quoting the words of the Ramah. Hatzibur says, it's better that what a person should do, you should go to Shul, specifically on Rosh Chodesh, to say Hallel with a minion, to eliminate the opinions that say it's better that you maybe you're not okay to say it by yourself with a bracha. Says the Be'er Heitev, V'im bal beis hakneses samach l'Hallel. Be'er Heitev had the same problem. People come late to Shul, right? People come late to Shul. So what happens? You didn't daven yet, apparently. You didn't say a word. So generally you would think, okay, I missed
the beginning.
I'll start. Just daven, modani, whatever, plow through. Exactly. And I'll say how about myself. Unbelievable Be'er Heitev. Listen to this. It says, V'im bal beis hakneses samach l'Hallel. What should you do? Yikra Hallel Tchila imatzibur v'yachak yisfalo. He says that's better that a person should not daven in order. Don't daven Shemona Esrei. It's better to say Hallel with a minion, and then afterwards you daven your Shemona Esrei, you daven Shachar's. But it's because of the concern the Ramah of saying a bracha, right? Because by doing it by yourself.
Well, okay. Let me ask you a question. Must you make a bracha?
What?
Are you
Yotzei reciting Hallel?
Without the quite the Rambam, for sure you would be.
Mm-hmm. The Rambam holds you're not supposed to say a bracha, but if you can say a bracha, then you should. If your minhag is that you can, then you should. You know, obviously the Rambam was not so concerned that it was like a suffix to him. If it was a suffix, he would say don't make a bracha either. Maybe that was the reason why the Rambam says no. But according to the Rambam, it says go for it. But still, it's always better to cover as many shittas as possible. Don't take this kula. If you can get to a minion, let's continue the Be'er Heitev. The Be'er Heitev says like this. Okay? Sorry that the font is so big. Okay? Yeah, seriously. You wonder why most yeshiva students have glasses. Okay. The Esher, it says in the Be'er Heitev, it's possible, if you honor your pursuit of the Zimra, when a person is pursuing the Zimra, Mutal Hasik V'em Solikros Hallel Imat Zibur. So forget about the fact that you walked into Shul and they're right about to stay Hallel. Let's say you're a little bit late. Well, kind of.
A lot late,
but you're in the middle of pursuing the Zimra. The question is, alright, I'm not like on page one. I'm kind of in the middle of the davening over here. I'm not at the Baruch yet, but I'm in the middle of pursuing the Zimra. Maybe I shouldn't interrupt my pursuing the Zimra Hallel. I mean, it doesn't seem right. Be'er Heitev says not a problem. That we cannot say it's any worse than the various paragraphs that we add in the Pesukim Zimra on Shabbos. Because what are we adding? Paragraphs in Tehillim, right? So that's basically what Hallel is, a lot of Tehillim. Mihu, nearly, however it seems to be, Oz lo yavarech al Hallel, lo b'chil lo b'sof. However, it seems to me that those who do not make a bracha, not before, not afterwards, l'chein davku b'hal de Rosh Chodesh yasakim. This is something which a person should really be meticulous, specific on Rosh Chodesh. Kivan daharbi poskim shul avarech. That say you do not make a bracha, such as the Rambam. Amol b'yomim shigomer mahalel. When it comes to the whole halel, lo yom osob ensub psug nizimra. So when it comes to that, you should not interrupt your psug nizimra. So the whole issue is why the half halel, because this is a shaila if you're supposed to say a bracha by yourself. When it comes to whole halel, everyone holds a yachid, someone by themselves. You can say a bracha. So therefore, says the Ber Hetev, the only time you should interrupt your psuk de zimra is when? Half halel, or shkodesh. Right, when it comes to the whole halel, where you can say a bracha anyway by yourself, better that you shouldn't interrupt the psuk de zimra. Okay? But that implies, the sensitive reading of the Ber Hetev is that that's because you're in the middle of Sukkot Zimra. Even if you're at the whole Hallel, maybe you should still say Hallel with a minion. Maybe. Even though it's not, maybe the only reason why you're supposed to say it with a minion is because of the issue of a rough question. Okay, let's continue to the third page. Alright? Questions? Alright. Do you understand a word now?
Roughly.
Approximately a word. Okay. Alright, let's turn to the third and final page of our packet, which is page 198. I have very thick packets. This is page 198 in the packet. Okay. It says in the beginning of the siman, which we're going to be seeing the first two sifim, but there's some really interesting Mishnah Berurah over here. Be'ezem makom yachol hasik, be'ezem makom lo yasik. When are you allowed to interrupt the Shema? That's what we're discussing. There's middle, bana prokim, emsa paragraph, between the paragraphs. In between the paragraphs, in the middle of the paragraph. So that's the question. Okay. Which is very strange. We talk about if it's someone you may cover in a year, so we can have certain times you can interrupt the Shema. Which is very strange. But that's what the Gemara said. The question is, what do we hold like? So let's start off with the Shulchan Aruch, with the Mechaber. He says as follows on the top line. Bein HaProkim, when you're in between the paragraphs, Shalom B'Shalom, you're allowed to greet Adam Nichbad, someone you respect. Meishiv Shalom L'chol Adam, and you can greet anyone. You can respond back, rather, to anyone. Because if they already responded to you, they already greeted you, you can respond to them. Uva Emsa, upon this would be the staple over here, in the middle of the paragraph, Shoyel B'Shalom, Mi shehu yori menu, only someone that you're afraid of. Because you're in the middle of a paragraph, so someone you honor, you cannot interrupt. But someone that you're afraid of, kigon aviv o rabo, which is similar to what the Rambam said, we talked about, a father or a teacher, but mi shehu godon yimenu b'chachma, someone who is knowledgeable, kol shekin, melech o anos, king or some powerful leader, you can respond to the person who you honor. Even if you're in the middle of the pasuk, and this is actually the question that we talked about before, chutz the pasuk Shema Yisrael, Barshim Kavod Machuto Elam Boed, Shelo Yasek B'chol Behem Klal. You're not allowed to interrupt that at all. So when it comes to the Shema and Barshim, which we talked about, which we weren't so sure, we see in Halacha, Shuliyasik behem klal. You're not allowed to interrupt for that at all. If we look at the Mishnah Berura, jumping around for a second, all the way down to the very bottom, the second to last line in the Mishnah Berura, behem klal, it says mashma, that implies diafil kadesh kedushu baruch hu yana v'ayin bir halacha. The bir halacha talks about this, which you're not going to see. It's on the right side, but the bir halacha says that does make a difference. If you said Shema, right? If you're in the middle of the pasuk Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad, or Baruch Shem, Kavod Malchuto Yolam Boed, you're never allowed to interrupt for anything. So if you hear Kaddish, if you hear Kedusha, Baruch Hu, doesn't make a difference. Amen, of course not. Baruch Hu Shmo, certainly not. So you're not allowed to interrupt. Okay? If you look, you'll just see this next line over here, the Mishnah Berurah continues. The Asher, the Ima Kriya Hayul Achashol shows. Dehu rab ki kari b'tor sarach lahafsik. Sarach lahafsik. Says the whole issue, krishma, is so zman krishma. After the third hour of the day, you're no longer yotzei the mitzvah. Said the Mishnah in the first parak, you still should say it, because it's like you're reading Torah, it's like you're learning Torah, right? So, but you're not really saying the Shema for the sake of saying the Shema, to fulfill the mitzvah. So at that point, you should be mafsik. Not that you can, sarach lahafsik. Okay. All right. So we see in halacha clearly that a person is allowed to make certain interruptions, ban the prokin, ban the mesoper, right? It's not so. So let's look, skipping Aleph, because let's see some Gemara today as well. If we look in Beis, right? If you look at the Shol B'Shalom, see that? In the Mishnah Berurah, Shol B'Shalom, it's about 8 lines. Doctor, this will blow your mind. This is unbelievable, Mishnah Berurah. Listen to this. Amazing. A field blush and laws, first of all, can be in any language. When it says you can interrupt. Vedavka says the Magen Avraham, when do we say that you're allowed to make any interruptions? Beina perek, beemsa perek, bepanim chadashos.
A new face.
Shaul meshit. That is the time you're allowed to initiate and respond to someone you honor, apparently even to someone you fear. She'im, listen to this. It's a very important Mishnah Berurah because it also responds to the issue of newcomers for shul and how should you approach them. Right. She'im lo yishal, because if you do not greet them, yabli they sinna. They're gonna be upset.
Say, well, a bunch of snobs. You know, exactly. New guy here. They don't know who that guy am.
Right. I'm new. And enough. It's not a warm place. Yeah. You know. I walked up to this guy and he didn't say hello to me. The reality is, you're in the middle of the Shema, so it's a big deal. So, that is, to me, is an unbelievable line, because that just turned the entire Gemara around. The whole Gemara, which said, Beina Perek, Bemsa Perek, so we ask these questions, like, what do you mean? This is your Rebbe, forget about your Rebbe and your father, but it says someone you honor, someone that you care for, someone you're afraid of, someone you should show reverence for.
But these are none of the above, just a new guy.
But what he's saying, what the Magen Avraham is saying, is that our whole Gemara, the whole heter of speaking to people,
is because of Yira.
Is only if you've never seen them before. Panim Chadashos, a new person, which means if it's some guy that you respect, right? It's someone that you respect, but you saw him yesterday and you saw him the day before. So you don't have the same obligation to greet him. You do not have to interrupt your davening. Because the other question we said is, when it says you can interrupt your Shema, does it mean you can or you should? Right? You can't. Can you interrupt it? But maybe you shouldn't really. Or no, do it. So according to the Magen Avraham, the way we can read the Magen Avraham here is that by Panim Chadashos, and you're in the middle of the Shema, it's not you can interrupt.
You must.
You really should. Because otherwise, how is this person going to feel? But what the Magen Avraham is also telling us is that if you already have someone that knows you and already you have a relationship with, if you don't greet them every single second of your life, they'll still understand. They're not going to hate you for that. They're only going to hate you on the first impression. You can't make another first impression. So that's the idea, the issue of this whole Gemara, which we're talking about, is only by Panim Chadashos. Fascinating. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah says something else, which is pretty amazing. Listen to this. The Sefer HaChinuch, Mishnah Berurah brings down the Sefer HaChinuch. It says, Gam Kein Kosev, he also writes, Demi Shelo Re'inu, Sheyakpid Al Chaveru Klal, Lo Yafsik Afil Ben Aprokim. You're in the middle of paragraph 1 and paragraph 2. And you see this guy, he's a nice guy. You don't really know him, but you know I'm sure he's a nice guy. Implying, Sefer Chinuch sounds like it's Panim Chadashos, maybe. Or even if it's not Panim Chadashos. Let's say he doesn't hold like the Magen Avraham. But the person that is in the shul is a decent human being. He knows that you're in the middle of the Shema. He knows you're davening. And the fact that you're not going to respond to him, he's not going to care. He's not going to be offended. So according to the Sefer Chinuch, what should you do? Lo yafsik. You're not allowed to interrupt the Shema. So even though we learned an entire blot of Gemara talking about you can interrupt then, interrupt then, interrupt then, for this person, for that one, but if you know they're not machbid, so you don't have to interrupt.
You are making a hefsek.
What do you mean?
You're making a hefsek in your kavanah. If you have to stop and analyze, who is this guy? Do I like him? Does he know him? Is he
What does this say?
What does this say? The thoughts are going to
pull out a safer.
Exactly, you can't have kavanah for davening. You're losing your whole train of thought. It was just easier to say, okay, Shalom, and go back to the topic, rather than just have an analysis of who's there, who's in front of you.
Well, maybe if you're so familiar with the halacha, It doesn't take much analysis. You just know, okay, you're good.
No, but you're gonna look up who you analyze. Who's this guy? You know, I mean,
right.
It's supposed to be Dominic. We talk about, you know, Kavanagh right. And everything, and it's
I hear you. It's a good point, but is that considered to be a hefsek as a thought? Not necessarily the best thing, but it's to interrupt with a word may be worse. But yeah, I hear what you're saying, just say hello and move on.
Exactly. But, so you know, just wait, goodbye, you know.
But the Sefer kind of feels that if you know this person is not someone you're mocking that doesn't get too upset, just keep on going. Okay. This is the key line. This is the line you would never say in a public forum because they would get very angry at you. They'd stone you. Okay. Al-Kain. Therefore, he says, Lefi min hageinu kehayoyim. Our daily custom, she'en onu nohagin lisha b'shol b'beis hachneses b'beis tefil. That we do not greet people in shul b'beis tefil during davening, right? And then listen to this next line. This is I underline this pretty badly over here. Chalila, God forbid, lisho olahoshiv afilu divrei Torah lo ben haprokim vlo bipsuk dezimra. That God forbid a person should interrupt, even to say a dvar Torah. If you think you're okay, so you're learning, you're davening, you're learning, but even for divrei Torah, not ben haprokim, not even pesuk dezimra, he sneaks in. So he says that absolutely not. So according to this opinion, which there's a lot more we can see, but the basic idea over here is telling us that halacha maisa, we're not mafsik. We don't interrupt the Shema. And he says nowadays bizmanenu, probably because of echoing the words of the Sefer Chinuch, is that what is our concern? No one is going to be machbed. If you come to shul to socialize. You come to shul to shmooze. You come to shul to daven. So the fact that you see a person that you're friendly with, you shouldn't be offended if he doesn't speak to you. Because chalila, God forbid, that's the purpose of a person coming to shul, lishol l'hoshiv afil divrei Torah. So that's the words in Mishnah Berurah. But I can only say it in a private, quiet forum. That's why I only asked a few people to come today. Because if a lot of people came, I'd have to skip those words in Mishnah Berurah. Okay. Is there more to talk about? Yes, there certainly is more to talk about. The Mechaber and the Mishnah Berurah talks about what's Mimnei Kavod, what's Mimnei Yira, but that's really gets more into the nitty-gritty of it, but that's of a... I think that was an important Mishnah Berurah that we saw. So let's move on. Okay? Let's move on. Okay? Let's see a piece of Gemara. We're up to the first wide line of the Gemara. Boy minei... Ashian Tandebe Rav Ami Mirav Ami. They asked the following question. What was the question? Hashuya Batinus. Right? I don't know when the next fast is, but use your imagination.
The next couple of days. Next 24 hours.
Hashuya Batinus. A person is engaged in a Tinus, and when it's speaking about a Tinus, a fast, in this particular situation, it's most of the portion when it's a tainus yachid. It's not a tainus sibur.
It's a tainus that you called upon yourself.
Yeah. The question is, mahu shiyitom? What is the din? Are you allowed to taste? It's a fast. Are you allowed to taste during the fast? Right? I'm not really eating. So what does it mean, tasting? So if we look at Rashi over here in the top, closest to the binding, in the fourth line from the top, mahu shiyitom, as a tashil, to taste a dish, wadas im sark melech otam, right? Let's say you're preparing for the breakfast, and you want to see how the food's going to taste. So, does it need some more salt? Does it need some spices? So, what's the din? So, before we see the Gemara's Kasha, let's go down to the second to last Tosus. And we're going to see this whole Tosus, it's only one line. Tayim v'in b'kach klum. Okay, well, that's going to be the answer, which we'll get to, but... let's see the Tosas above that. Oh, Dilma Hanukkah Bolehan. It says, Hai Lishna Mashma Demairi Betainis Yachin. I was wondering where he came that. Got that. This whole question, which we didn't even get to, well, what about tasting, is only by a private fast. Shikabula, they accept it upon yourself. Aval Betainis HaKasuf, Lo. a written fast, which means it's publicly declared, that's something a person certainly is not allowed to taste. Okay. Why is that the case? I'm not sure. But apparently Tosfos is pretty certain that this is not a Tainas Sibur. Tainas Sibur you certainly cannot taste. Tainas Yachin is the question. So let's see this next Tosfos. So Rashi said, what is the purpose of tasting? To see, does it need more salt? Does it need some more ginger? Some cloves? One of my cooks in Florida used to always make chicken with cloves. It was disgusting. So, that's what they just poured cloves. She was from Haiti. She was from Haitian. Anyway, so do they need more cloves? Toyamein b'kach cloves. So Tosfos says, Perish Rabbeinu Chananel, quotes to Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, Shechozer b'poilet. Right? Hopefully that this is not, Ms. Manners would not approve of this Tosfos. But it doesn't mean you swallowed the food, but it means you tasted it, and then afterwards you spit it out. According to this, you're not deriving any benefit from tasting. Tasting something, there's no hana. But if you swallow it, lo. That you're not allowed to do. Afil b'shar taniyah is any fast. Shemhachi apoyot en sarach bracha she'enu nana. Tosfos, maybe we should have seen this after Sada Gemara. Tosfos says that when it comes to not only a fast, which we'll get into that, but when it comes to chewing and spitting out, ein sarach bracha she'enu nehena. You do not need a bracha because you're not getting any pleasure. So the famous shiloh that they ask on this Tosfos is bubble gum, right? Kashas, do you make bracha on gum, right?
You get the flavor in your mouth.
So the teretz is, are you swallowing anything? Right. So if you're swallowing something, which answer is
you are,
so you're swallowing sugar or whatever the other junk is in there, so there's no shiloh, you certainly make a bracha on gum. Right? But if a person would be just chewing something and spitting it out, Tosfos clearly says, Ein sarach bracha she'enu nehena. There's no hana about tasting. Tasting you don't derive hana from, which is kind of hard to understand, but the tasting is only a hana apparently when you swallow it afterwards. If you can only taste a food, but you can't actually swallow it, right? I guess there's people who have illnesses like bulimia or all these different, right? So, anyway, so let's continue with the Gemara. But the Gemara asks, second line, Mahu Shi'itim, are you allowed to taste? So it's asked the Gemara, Achil b'shtiyik kabalela b'alik. Do we say that you're eating and drinking, you accepted upon yourself b'alik, and you didn't? Because, see how the language, this is how Tosfos sees it, because it says that you would kabel aleha, you accepted it upon yourself. Tainas Sibur is not something you accept upon yourself. It comes whether you like it or not. It happens. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur, right? It's not like I accept it upon myself. But aleha, I didn't eat, I didn't drink anything, so maybe it's not an issue. Dilma, hana kabel aleha, maybe the whole issue is hana v'ha'ika, and there is hana. Omrolei, so the Gemara answers, Toyim ve'en b'kach klum. Taste, and it's not an issue. En b'kach klum, it's not a big deal. Now it's interesting what the Gemara's answer is. The Gemara says that you can taste en b'kach klum. The Gemara's question was, maybe you cannot taste, why?
Hanah will stay with you.
Hanah kabaleha ba'ika, right? That's Hanah. If we just saw, what did Tosfos say? Tosfos said that on the part of Toyim ve'en b'kach klum, which is the Gemara's answer, is that tasting, there is no hana. The Gemara thought in the question that tasting something, there is an element of hana, of pleasure, even though you're not eating. When the Gemara answers Toyim ve'en b'kach klum, based on what Tosfos said, right? Tosfos said, Eino tzarech bracha she'eino nehena. Tasting alone and spitting out, there is no pleasure. There is no hana. So therefore, that's the reason why a person is allowed to do this.
What about the guys who chew tobacco?
So what's the shadow?
They spit it out. They must do it because they get pleasure from it.
In other words, the shadow is, for example, it's actually brought down in halacha on Tishah B'Av. Tisha B'Av, which is in a few weeks from now, okay, the fast alone, it says that after Chatzos, there's certain leniencies, whatever the reason is, okay. After chatzos, we sit in the chair, this. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, what is another leniency?
Smoking.
So what do we see? Forget about you're allowed to smoke. Forget about that. It says, assuming that it's obviously in those days was not an issue whatsoever. So smoking, what do you mean? It's a fast day. You're fasting.
I'm getting enough from cigarette smoke. Right.
But the idea of a tinus is not smoke, you know, inhaling smoke. It's food. The isser, the prohibition of a fast, is consuming or also tasting, even for a public fast, food, drinking, achil and shtia, not smoking, not chewing tobacco. Whether you're allowed to do it in general is another shaila. But apparently that's not considered to be attached to the issue of a tinus of a fast. Okay.
So that's the question. Could you chew tobacco on a tinus?
When on a tinus?
Yeah.
Assuming that it's not an issue in general, then apparently you could. Apparently you could.
I never heard of that. Usually they take snuff.
Well, part of the reason why they have the snuff is also for an extra bracha, right? Some people have a minhag because, for example, in Yom Kippur or other times where there's an inyan to say 90 brachos a day or 100 amens a day, so they have the besamim. It's also to revive you because you're a little bit weak, right? It's a bracha.
You never see anybody chew tobacco.
Does that wake you up, or what does that do?
Chew the bowl.
Gives you a buzz, I guess.
Yes. It's absorbed. It's a drug that's absorbed through the mucous membrane. You don't have to swallow it to get the effect.
Right.
That's why they use...
They don't swallow.
It's just the way they do it. They take a wad of it and they stick it, you know, in the cheek. And it just the works there. It like, gets into your blood and it's like you get sort of a buzz.
So does that help a person through a fast?
It might.
It may. But apparently it's not the same.
But I don't know. That's a good question. If you could chew tobacco on a fast.
Well, I'm saying, because it's brought down explicitly when it comes...
It's a disgusting habit because it makes you salivate and you spit out this brown...
Yes, I've seen a few baseball players.
That's why they have sunflower seeds.
So they chew gum now. But that's the whole
question. In the old days, they used to have spittoons and shoes.
That's right. Yes, they did. That's correct.
They made some lady clean it out. It's disgusting.
Oh, we become a lot more civilized. Yes, our shoes. We ourselves are much more civilized than we used to be, right?
So, well, I remember
no more
that.
Spittoons. Yes.
Somebody had to clean it out.
Well, of course. What do you want? We expect. All right. Continuing in the Gemara. The Gemara says like this. We're not up to the two dots. Let's finish this up. The Gemara says, so, v'ein b'kach klum, not a problem. Ad kam. So you say it's not a problem, but there's got to be a limit to this. Because after all, Rashi said the whole reason why you're tasting this food is to see if it needs more salt, does it need more whatever. So how much do we allow this guy? He's going to be tasting all day, tasting and tasting and spitting out his tosa stuff. So the Gemara says like this, Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Tami Adshir Reviyata. That Rav Ami, Rav Asi would taste up until the measure of a Revius. And Rashi brings down that this is specifically Revius Halug. Oh, it's a specific measurement and not more. It's not that a person has free reign to taste all day during their tinus yachid, but rather they have to minimize it to at a certain point. All right. Now, some actually also went out from here another question. The shayla of a person who makes a shvua. We know that when it comes to, in halacha, a person can also make swear and forbid certain things upon themselves. So forget about, there's one issue of a tinus, of a fast, brought down in the Hagon HaShoel Meshiv, he asks, he brings down Mikan from our Gemara, Yesh Lishot, we can answer up the question, Mishin Nishva Shlo Yeachel. A person makes a Shvua, I'm not going to eat, for a specific amount of time, which is not necessarily the same as accepting a fast upon yourself. It's similar, but it's not the same. im gam t'ima b'chlal hashvua. This tasting part of his shvua. You make a shvua, or I'm not going to eat anything, or I'm not going to eat anything of yours, right? So the question is tasting also considered to be within that category of such a shvua? Kivan de gam b'tayyos, afdol bi'ur behedya chil v'shtia, even though you didn't explicitly said when it came to your fast that I am not eating and I'm not drinking, we said it's not a problem, you can taste. So therefore, certainly, in this case where you said I will not eat, sounds like the only thing you're not allowing yourself to do for this particular point of time is not to eat, but you're allowed to taste. In conclusion, the question is, what does this Gemara have anything to do with the Gemara we had
before? Pulsating between the episodes.
Right. It has absolutely nothing to do with one another. This is talking about fasting and talking about do you make a bracha when it comes to tasting foods?
It's like a hefsek in the fast.
Kind of. Oh, so it's interesting. Oh, very good. I like that. Nice shot. That the question is tasting. Is that also break up with that? Right. Very good. It's. I didn't see that. It's beautiful. I like that a lot better than what I'm about to say. But the sloth tells us a different explanation. You'll notice that when the Gemara said that it's not an issue, he says v'ein b'kach klum. That was the language that the Gemara said over here. Uh-huh. If you go before the wide lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines before
v'ein b'kach klum.
Yes, it says very. It's not the most usual term found in the Gemara. So the question that the Gemara before asked, should we be machmir, should we go extra strict, that when it comes to halal, when it comes to this, should we pay sake, we're allowed to interrupt, maybe we're not supposed to interrupt, maybe we should go machmir, you don't have to go strict all the time, there's no need to be machmir about every last thing. And therefore, says the sloth, it's the same thing over here, that a person shouldn't, again, think, oh, I have to go machmir over here. That there's sometimes it's good to be a machmir, and sometimes there's no point, there's no need to. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. And therefore, you're allowed to do these two things.